This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Mark Sievercroft, who is making his dreams come true by helping people develop relationships. Glad to have you on the show, Mark.
What is going on, Joe?
Ah, man, my one-year anniversary just passed.
Yes, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. It was an amazing time at the party. We raised a bunch of money. Obviously, I'm not recording this ahead of time, so that's why I'm just saying a bunch of money.
I have no doubt.
So I'm really glad to have you on the show, and why don't you get started by giving some background about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. So I live in Washington State. I always have to say state because everybody's always like, oh, D.C., and it's like, no, other side of the state, other side of the country. So I live there. I have done several things in my life. I probably the most important is marrying my beautiful wife. I have two kids, and just running around chasing kids, coaching t-ball, coaching soccer, all that fun stuff. But my passion really is connecting with people. We always hear people talk about, well, what everybody tells you you're good at is what you should be doing. And I found that a lot of people will say, wow, you know everybody, or wow, you're really good at talking to people. And so I've taken that, and I try to talk about building relationships, and I've really realized that I'm where I am in my life because of the people that I've met and the relationships I've developed. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with that, and a lot of people are scared to talk to people or scared to connect with people and don't know how to do it. And so my goal is to help people do that and help them realize the importance of relationships, and also to be able to develop those relationships so they can accomplish their goals and their dreams. So I do that on the side right now. I am by day, I'm a commercial underwriter, which, by the way, is, yes, it's every bit as exciting as it sounds. It's just riveting work, really. So yeah, I'm just making my dreams happen in the time before work and after work and on the weekends, and just really love connecting with people. So I'm so glad to be on your podcast and get to know you a little bit better and get to know your audience, hopefully, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny that you say, oh, is the thing that your people say you're really good at is what you should be doing. You know, it's funny, for the longest time growing up, I loved computers and I loved working with computers, but I hated the fact that everybody loved the fact that I loved computers because they just expected me to know everything all of the time. And then Google came along, and I did.
Right.
But before Google, it was a little bit tougher. A lot of times I could see where people wouldn't want to just do what they're good at. Mm-hmm. But in your case, connecting with people is a ton of fun. It's one of the main reasons that I do this show.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. And I've said that a million times to people. I used to I was a co-host of a career podcast for a while, Hop Into Your Career, and we used to talk about all the time about how just because you are good at something doesn't necessarily mean you should do it. You know, you need to qualify that a little bit. I mean, there's tons of things that I'm good at that I absolutely hate doing. So you're right. It's like, well, okay, I like it, but, or I'm good at it, but do I like doing it? And that's really where I've found connecting with people is that intersection of I'm actually kind of good at it, and I actually kind of like it. So that's that is really fun for me. You know, a lot of people, they just, you know, I have friends that it wears them out talking to people. You know, they just get emotionally drained connecting with people, and they'd rather just be, you know, with one or two good friends or, you know, stuck in their own room working on something. And that's awesome, but that's not me. I mean, I love connecting with people, and I love getting to know people and hearing their stories. And, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, podcasting is one of the best ways to do that. And, you know, when I was co-hosting that podcast, there was tons of people that I met that you know, I never would have met otherwise. And, you know, with technology today, it's amazing the amount of people that we get to meet and the amount of people that we can connect with and build relationships with from wherever we're at, which is a huge benefit when you live in a tiny little town like I do.
So when you were deciding what you were going to do to make this connecting people into a potential career or at least a hobby, right? What steps were you starting to take at that point?
Well, I think, you know, first off, it was just a matter of, you know, I use the principles that I teach now to advance where I was in my life. I mean, I was in a job that I absolutely hated. I was working, you know, a ridiculous amount of hours, like 75 hours a week. And it was through relationships I had developed that I got to a point where I was able to switch jobs, work a lot less hours, get a lot closer to what I like to do. You know, that's when I met Scott, was through that process, and had a mutual friend that mentioned that he was doing a lot of the same things I was doing, you know, blogging and whatnot. And so, yeah, because of that, Scott and I got hooked up. And as he and I were working on Happen Your Career, that was really when I started to realize that my knack really was developing relationships and the connecting portion. And that's kind of the way I started to focus as we were working together. You know, he would work on a lot of the and give a lot of the advice on, you know, straight career, job search, you know, raise negotiation, that kind of stuff. And I would a lot of times focus on the people that you needed to know to be able to get where you want in your career. And so I think for me, it was the steps that I took was just in the doing of it. You know, I was just taking steps forward. And it was through that process and through a good year with Scott that I realized that what I really wanted to be talking about full time was networking and developing relationships with people and the importance of that. And so those were the steps I took. I think one of the biggest things that I found is a lot of times people just don't take steps at all. I mean, they just sit there and it's like, well, I really want to do this, or, oh, it'd be fun to do this, but they don't just do something. And, you know, that was a big problem I had for a long time, was, you know, trying to have the end figured out before I started. And so those first steps, I mean, I think for me were just, you know, they weren't perfect. They weren't, you know, exactly the direction I wanted to go. But once I started moving, that's when I realized where I wanted to go. And I was able to adjust and move forward and adjust and move forward and adjust and move forward. So I think it's just getting opportunities to do what you want to do. And that's what did it for me, was just getting those chances on the podcast and on the blog and interacting with people to talk about building relationships. And that really helped me fine tune and realize that's what I wanted to talk about and what I wanted to do and focus on.
And you know, it's great that you were probably, I'm assuming you were able to do all this while you were still working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like you had to leave your job to start this new venture where you were like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I'm looking at the end. I like where it's going, but I really don't know.
Right. Yeah, it was, you know, it definitely, you know, Scott and I would always joke and people would always joke with us that, you know, we were always up at 5 o'clock. I mean, you know, like I said, we live about 15, 20 minutes from each other. And, you know, it was when we were working together, it was once a week that we were meeting, you know, at a Starbucks or at his house in his home office at 5 in the morning. You know, 4:35 in the morning, somewhere in there, and working for a couple hours before both of us had to go to work. So, yeah, it was a matter of, you know, we squeezed it in wherever we could. We, you know, we're working in the evenings. We were working on weekends. You know, there was days that I took off a half a day from work to go record some stuff. I mean, it certainly was a matter of, you know, where can we fit it in and how can we make it work, which is tough. I mean, it really is stressful at sometimes. But it was a lot of fun. We had so much fun, and you know, you really can't put I guess you can't quantify or put a price on the joy and the fun that comes from chasing a dream and building something, developing something, which I'm sure you've felt as well, Joe, as you've been developing and building the podcast.
Yeah, it's been I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been plenty of times where I was sitting there in the afternoon editing an episode back when I was doing it 5 days a week and thinking, mm-hmm. What the heck am I doing? Like, I was sitting at my house. I'm doing this. It's the afternoon. I should be at my desk at work, and mm-hmm. I'm not. And I'm right. And I'm happy, but at the same time, I just don't know what the heck I'm doing here.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, those are the times that you really have to know why you're doing it, you know, because I think that's what people think, and that's what Scott and I found as we're talking with people, you know, trying to get to work they love. I mean, so many people think, well, I'm going to find what I love to do, and I'm never going to have a bad day. And it's like, dude, you are in for a rude awakening, because there will still be days and there will still be afternoons that you're like, what in the heck am I doing? And it would be so much easier to just be sitting mindlessly at my desk at work and, you know, just doing what I'm told. And you know, those days come. I mean, it happens, but those are the times that I'm sure, you know, if you look back, you said, okay, why am I doing this? And you give yourself a little pep talk, even if you don't realize you are, and you keep going, you know, and that's really, I think, what separates those that get to chase their dreams and those that don't, is they're able to keep themselves going in those times that it's not necessarily fun or it's not necessarily everything they hoped it would be.
You know, the truth. Mark, how has your family taken all this, you know, you wanting to connect people and try to make that into a career?
I think first off, you know, like my parents and my grandparents, they don't really completely understand it. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's like that pat on the head. It's like, oh, that's nice. Good for you. My wife, I really, throughout my life, have not given her a ton of reasons to have any faith that something like this would work. And in full transparency, I mean, I've tried 10 or 12 different things, and, you know, you and I were talking about getting bored, and I, you know, that's what would happen with me. I mean, I would do something for a while, and it's like, ah, I don't really like doing this, or isn't really that much fun, and I'd move on to something else. And so I started blogging and doing that. And at first it was like, okay, that's fine, whatever you want to do. But then when it started taking more time and I was, you know, working with Scott more, and then I was working on my own stuff more, it was kind of like, okay, well, you know, there was a lot of questions of, where does this go? How much time are you going to spend? Is there going to be any benefit to it at some point? And one of the things that I realized is, you know, as dreamers and as people that are trying to chase what they want to do, a lot of times it's easy to start feeling like a victim at that point. And it's like, well, why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just support me? And that what I've realized for myself is that our spouses and our families, they want to trust us and they want to support us. But at some point, we have to give them some evidence. You know, we have to give them something to prove that, hey, there's some benefit to this. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's money. I mean, if it's a hobby, that's fine. But what is the benefit? I mean, what are you getting out of it? And what is your family getting out of it? And, you know, if it's a, hey, it's a hobby and I like to do it a couple hours a week and it, you know, it makes me, you know, it relaxes me and it makes me happier, then okay, that's a benefit. But in my case where it's like, okay, I want to build this into something and I want to develop some revenue streams and that kind of thing, you know, I realized I had to show my wife that. And man, that was a fun day the first time I did it. I mean, I did a live online event with, I don't know if you know John Corcoran or Matt McWilliams, but the three of us did a live networking event. And, you know, in the space of 2 days or a day, well, 2 days, because I took a day off work before to get ready for it. And then the day it happened, which I had prepared before that. But essentially in 2 days, I made more in those 2 days than I make typically, you know, in like a week at work, you know, by us selling that event. And so that was the proof. And my wife's like, wow, okay. You know, and so my wife is absolutely fantastic. I mean, she is unbelievably supportive, unbelievably forgiving, unbelievably you know, just really gracious when it comes to, you know, me, you know, doing things and taking time to write a blog post or record a podcast. And I've just found that the more that you can involve them in that process, the easier it is. You know, and my wife a lot of times will look at me and be like, I really don't care. I don't care about the ins and outs of why you're doing this in a blog post. I just don't care. But at the same time, she's like, but what's the end result? What is this doing for our family? And so we have that conversation. And then the other thing I've done that I think is a lot of fun, and I think, Joe, you'll appreciate this as a podcaster, is I've been trying to get my daughter to podcast. She's 6. And those are the funniest podcasts in the world. I mean, she's just hilarious because she's 6. And the things she talks about, and it's just kind of her life and what goes on. And so we record them every few weeks, and she loves sitting at the microphone, dad's microphone, and you know, there's a lot of dead air a lot of times, but it's fun. It's neat to bring your family into that, have them kind of experience and enjoy some of those parts of what you're doing to build your dreams. And I think that's one of the biggest things that has helped my family and helped them to really get to a point where they're pretty supportive, and they realize that dad or spouse isn't going to be comfortable just doing what everybody else does. And it's taken my wife a while to be okay with that, but she's getting there. So I really appreciate them and the support that they give me.
Oh man. Well, I can appreciate the fact that your wife is concerned. I mean, it is your family that you do all this for, in order to, continue the family going, moving forward. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And we're so busy that my wife's like, okay, well, you're going to take an hour to do this. Why? Because I have work commitments, I have, church commitments, I coach my kids' soccer teams and t-ball teams. I hate t-ball. Absolutely hate. I hate baseball. So.
Oh, I don't hate baseball. T-ball. T-ball's like, ugh. I'd rather see my kid like run around and play soccer. At least they're running around and
exactly
doing something.
But, that's what it really comes down to is my wife's like, okay, we have this finite amount of time. You're spending a lot of time at work. You're spending a lot of time, serving in church. You're doing all these things. What's the benefit of it? And I think that's a fair question. And I think sometimes we get defensive when they ask that. But I think it's a fair question. You're taking time away from your family. What's the benefit? Why are we doing this? And I think that's a good question to ask yourself as you're moving forward. Why am I doing this? And that helps you get through those tough times. And it helps you get through, waking up at 5 a.m. when the family's all asleep. To chase that dream. And, those are good things. And I've had to really remind myself of that my wife isn't trying to dash my dream. She's just trying to say, okay, how is this helping? What is the benefit, and why are we taking time away from family time to do this? And, it's taken me a while to come up with a good answer for it, but, we're working on it and I appreciate the support that she gives me and really the kick in the rear at times to really define why am I doing it and why is it something that should take some time in our lives. And that's a very, very beneficial conversation to have with yourself. And my wife helps me to stay on point with that. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, in my case, I don't have any children. So she's at work all day and mm-hmm. I work from home at this point. So, for me, it's like, okay, well, I'm not taking time from a whole lot. I mean, there's nights where I got to record at 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night when she would, when she's home and she's like, oh, I wish we could spend time. I'm like, I know, but. Of course, now that's gotten easier that she has her own company that she's working on. So she has things to do. I have things to do. But we still try to make at least two to three nights a week where we're seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that not everybody has your vision, right? And I've written about this. I've talked about this. And sometimes you have to be able to market your vision to everybody, right? It doesn't matter if they're family, it doesn't matter if they're your wife or your child or anything. It doesn't matter. Like, you're mm-hmm. constantly marketing yourself in every way,
right?
Whether you want to believe it or not. So
that's true.
So yeah, so it is good to be able to have that. I know it's funny you mention all that, because like my wife Melissa, she's like, Joe, I know you have all these ideas. Like, you want to do this, you want to do this. I'm like, yeah, I just got this awesome idea. And she's like, but you need to do one thing. Just do one thing right now. Like, you only have to do one thing at a time. No one's going to, jump on you because you're not doing five things at once. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but the ideas, they just keep coming. So, she sees the potential as well. She sees like everything that's going, the connections that I've made, the lives that I've helped change in the process. Mm-hmm. And she just loves seeing me happy, because I was miserable before this. So, I totally get it. And about your daughter podcasting, that's really awesome. I don't know if you know this, but I actually teach a bunch of sixth graders how to podcast.
In the
school program. Yeah. So they've got their episode as of today, they have their episode 0, and we probably by now have our episode 1 together. Of course, now summer's here. So, I'll have to wait till next year to get on with it, but, we're submitting it to iTunes and gonna start running with it. Hopefully as a weekly show, as I get them all in the swing of things.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so cool. And that's one of the conversations I've had with my wife. And I think that's awesome that you're doing that, Joe, because one of the things that I've told my wife is, how neat will it be if I can get my daughter, you know, expressing her thoughts and being able to talk, you know, kind of in front of people and be able to carry on a conversation when it's, you know, not a conversation necessarily. There's nobody talking back to you. If I can get her to figure out how to do that at six, I tell my wife, I mean, yeah, it's funny. And yeah, it's a blast to listen to because you never know what's coming up. I mean, she's completely called me out on some stuff. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could edit that. But nope, I'm not going to, you know. But how neat will that be? You know, what kind of person will she turn into when she's, you know, 16 and 17 when, you know, everybody else is terrified to talk in front of class and she's not? You know, she knows how to put together her thoughts. She knows how to explain what she's thinking. She knows how to talk through what she wants to say. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we don't necessarily get taught very well in school. And so that's, you know, it's neat that you're doing that with sixth graders. And I'm sure that they're finding the same thing, that they're, you know, it helps in all aspects of their schooling and growing up, is being able to communicate. And really that's what you and I do in our podcast is communicate with people and put together thoughts and you know, sell our ideas to people, you know, as they listen. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we don't do it as much as we like, because, you know, there's times that she's like, no, I don't really want to do it. And I'm like, you know what? You're six. You know, if you don't want to have it every single week, that's okay. But, you know, I'm going to keep letting you grab the mic whenever you want and learning how to do that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I think it's good that, you're able to give her the space too. But I love the idea of being able to teach kids how to think, mm-hmm. not what to think.
Yep.
Right. And that's what, I mean, school does a lot of is the what to think, not yep. necessarily the how to think, to put your own thoughts together moving forward, to problem solve in ways that aren't just formulaic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Mark, what would you say your biggest roadblock has been with all of your connecting people together?
I think for me, you know, and this might be a little bit cliche, I guess, but my biggest roadblock has been myself. I mean, you know, over and over again, I, you know, second guess myself or I overthink things. And, you know, I just don't ever start doing what I'm doing. I mean, I've had this dream and this goal, you know, most of my life. My dad's a farmer and a rancher. So, I mean, he's an entrepreneur and assistant, or pretty much, you know, he works for himself. He's a business owner. And I've always wanted that. But I've spent, you know, 10 years of my life working for other people. And as I look back, I realize that the biggest roadblock has been myself. I mean, I overthink things and I you know, talk myself out of things before I even get started. Overcoming it, I don't know that I have completely. And I don't know if we ever completely overcome our roadblocks, but I think it's a process. And I think the thing I've realized is, you know, like we were talking earlier, it's just taking that next step. And it's realizing that, you know what, I don't have to have everything figured out. I don't have to know exactly where I'm going to go after this. I just have to know what my next step is. And, you know, I'm a person that I start thinking way ahead. And I joke that I go from, you know, an idea in my garage to like a Fortune 100 company in like 2.6 seconds. You know, it's like, oh, I could have this really cool idea. And then it's like, oh, where am I going to get a corporate jet? Who am I going to get to fly it? What are the regulations that a corporate jet has to adhere by? And then I give up because it's like, well, I have no idea how to do that. So I think that's been one of my biggest roadblocks is really learning to be okay with the process and learning to take one step at a time and realize that as I take that step, a little bit more will open up and I'll know a little bit more of what I should do. And that's a process for me, and it's hard for me because, you know, I dream big and I have these big ideas and, you know, I write out plans and I make business plans and then I don't know what to do next. You know, I get so much happening that I just don't know what to do, and I give up and I move to something else. So that's been my biggest roadblock, is just being okay with the process and being okay with taking it one step at a time and you know, just moving as I can and moving at my pace and doing what I can where I'm at and just trying to do that every day.
The dreaded analysis paralysis.
Yes. Yes, I'm like the poster child for that, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Mark, what are some of the ways that you overcome it?
I think a year ago, year ago, year and a half ago, just over a year ago now, I guess, I released a book called Project Success, and that kind of went through some of what I do to overcome that. I mean, I try to put things into projects. And what I mean by that is a lot of us have an idea. And, I mean, Joe, you and I have seen, tons of people, podcasters who, will do really well for 15 episodes and then they never record another episode in their life. And that's okay. But the way that most of us set it up, it turns out to be a quote unquote failure. Because we have these big ideas. Oh, we're gonna have a podcast like John Lee Dumas or David Ralph or somebody that's got all hundreds of episodes and they've got millions of downloads, and we get all these ideas in our head, and then we get into it 15 episodes and we realize that I don't really like doing this. But now you're stuck because you had this goal and this plan, and if you stop doing it, all of a sudden in your mind, consciously or subconsciously, you feel like you're a failure. You feel like you quit doing what you were going to do, and you have family and friends who are like, "Hey, whatever happened to that one thing you were doing?" Which makes it worse, And I've done this not millions of times. I've done this several times where family's like, "Hey, whatever happened to that?" And it's like, "Oh, I'm not doing it anymore." But when I've realized that if I change the shift, and I say, "Well, I'm going to do a project." So, for example, if you were going to start a podcast, you just say, "You know what? I'm going to do a podcast for 20 episodes." That's it. And you say right up front, I've seen some podcasters do this. It's like, hey, I'm gonna do 20 episodes and we'll see where it goes from there. So anything in your life, you can do that where you set a deadline, and you set that deadline at 3 to 6 months, and you say, I'm gonna do this until then, and then I'm going to reassess. And I'm going to say, okay, do I like doing this? Is it something I want to continue doing? Is it working? And then you get to that point and you make the agreement with yourself that whatever the decision is, it's okay. And the decision might be, you know what, I don't really like doing this, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to move on to another project. And when you do that, it takes failure out of the equation because you did what you said you were going to do. You committed to 20 episodes, or you committed to blogging for 2 months, or whatever it is. And then if you decide at the end of it that you don't want to do it anymore, and somebody says, hey, whatever happened to that? And you just say, well, I decided that I was going to do it for this amount of time. And I decided that I didn't like doing it, or I decided that it really wasn't going the way that I wanted it to, and so I've moved on, and I'm working on something else now. And so that's been one of the biggest ways that I've been able to overcome that, is just to really change the way that I look at things and break it up and make it into smaller, chunks that I can digest and not get overwhelmed with everything that I need to do for this goal that I have for the next 20 years. And that's been the biggest thing that's helped me, and I still struggle with it daily. I mean, I daily will get caught up in the, oh my gosh, I have so many things to do, and all of this needs to get done, and I don't know what to do, and then you end up doing nothing, that exactly like you said, analysis paralysis, and you get at the end of the day, and you feel like you did something because you're stressed and you're worn out because you thought of everything you had to do, but you didn't actually do anything. So I think breaking it up for me has been one of the biggest things that has helped, I guess, offset my propensity to get overwhelmed by all the ideas and the details and everything else.
It sounds like you're the, and I don't say this, while listeners of the show would know that I don't think I've ever said this. You sound like the perfect candidate for a coach. The
Oh,
you know
thanks.
to need well no no to need a coach
Oh.
to get those ideas and get them like lined up so you
Yeah.
can start knocking them down one at a time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, but once you start accomplishing those things, then you yourself could become a coach because you'll become the master of lining things up and getting them knocked down, you know,
Right.
and helping other people. So, because I mean, obviously you have a ton of great, ton of great ideas. You want to help people and all that. So, I mean, it sounds like that could be a future revenue stream for you. You just have to, I mean, most coaches do have coaches themselves,
Yeah, absolutely.
but,
Absolutely.
Mark, what was your childhood dream growing up?
Oh, childhood dream. I'll throw this one out just because it's funny. I just mentioned that I hate baseball and t-ball, but I was coaching the other day, and my dad reminded me. He's like, you know, when you were a kid, you were going to be a Seattle Mariner. You were going to play baseball, and that's just what was going to happen. So I would say that I want to be a baseball player at some point. But I think even more than that, at some point in my childhood, and I don't think I realized it till later, but my dream really was to not necessarily be an entrepreneur per se, but to have control of my time. And, you know, that I guess that what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I guess it showed itself in the fact that, you know, I was determined that I was going to make a lot of money and I was going to be super successful. And, you know, that's always been my dream, is to be successful. And it used to be well known. I don't necessarily know that that's that important to me anymore. I think it's more for me being connected to a lot of people. But I've always wanted to do something big and achieve something not normal. I don't think I knew that what that was at the time, but you know, I grew up, like I said, my parents are farmers, and I knew I didn't want to do that. So that was part of my childhood dream as well. I don't want to be in agriculture. It's just developed from there. I don't know that I had a real good sense of what I wanted to do at that point, but I knew that it was going to be big, and I wanted to do something that affected something. I wanted to matter, and I wanted to be able to help people. And that's really developed as I've gotten older. But the core of it, I think, has always been there. It's always been that I wanted to be successful. I wanted to accomplish you know, big things.
Well, you know what? You and me both, man. So I'm so fortunate that I was able to start this show to build a platform to move, you know, move on from where I was in life. So
yeah,
you just got to get started somewhere at point one, and then go to point two, and worry about point three. But you know, at least have the vision to see where point 26 is.
Right. Right.
But
at least have a general idea. It's in that direction.
Well,
and
yeah,
it might change by the time I get there, but at least I know where I'm going a little bit. Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Definitely have to be willing to pivot and change, mm-hmm. and sometimes, you know, not pursue some ideas to go for other ideas.
Right.
But right. With that said, what do your dreams for the future look like, Mark?
Dreams for the future. I've done a lot of, I guess, different exercises and really trying to decide what's most important to me. And it's interesting because I was going through a process put together by a man by the name of Richie Norton. I don't know if you're familiar with Richie. If not, he would be awesome for your podcast probably. And I'd be happy to introduce you. He goes through these, the four P's of productivity. And in doing so, he really lays out, okay, what's most important to you in these four areas? And it's, you know, personal life and the ones that, you know, kind of the wheel of life from Zig Ziglar, that same kind of idea. And as I was going through that, I realized that what I thought was important to me wasn't necessarily important to me. And that's really affected and changed what my dreams are for the future. And I found that the most important thing for me was having control of my time and my schedule. You know, when it got really right down to it, I mean, you know, I wanna be successful. I wanna to make sufficient money to be able to support my family and do the things I want to do. But really, what it came down to was I wanted to have control of my schedule. And so, my dreams for the future are really wrapped around that. I mean, I think there's a lot of things I could do, and I think there's a lot of things that I will do in my life, but really my goal and my dream is, you know, I look at my kids, my daughter's six, my son's two. When my daughter was two, I was working 75 hours a week. And, you know, I missed her birthday party one year, and I missed all sorts of things. I mean, I was working from sunup to sundown. I was out of town two or three nights a week. And I don't want to be, I guess that comes back to not being normal. I don't want to be normal. I don't want that to be the case. I want to be able to control my schedule so that I can be there when I want to be there, and that I can be a part of my kids' lives. I mean, so really my dream for the future is to have control of my life. You know, I don't know exactly everything that looks like right now, but that's the main goal. I was home for lunch. I'm fortunate to live 5 minutes from where I work. again, small town. I mean, I drive all the way across town, but it takes 5 minutes. So I come home for lunch, and the other day I was home for lunch, and it was right at the end of my, you know, I guess allotted lunchtime. I've got a fairly flexible schedule even now, but you know, it was getting close to an hour and I needed to start getting back. And my son, who's two, kept coming up and giving me hugs and kept wanting another kiss before I left. And I must have spent 20 minutes, you know, just, you know, playing with him and giving him some more hugs. And every time I try to leave, he wanted another hug and didn't want me to leave. And I remember thinking in that moment, what's more important than this? You know, why, what is so messed up in our mindset that it's more important for me to go back and do something stupid at work than it is for me to spend an extra 20 minutes, you know, playing with my son? I mean, what really is going to make the difference long term as far as what's important to me? And for me, it's my kids and my family. And that was a very sobering realization for me. And so really my dreams for the future is that I create the life that allows me to spend an extra 20 minutes playing with my son if I want to. And allows me to take off at 1 p.m. to go watch my daughter sing at a program at school. Or it allows me to decide that I'm going to take a day off from and not work and take my wife shopping or take her out to lunch or whatever it is. Those are the things that are really important to me. So as far as like what the mechanism for that is, I don't know exactly. I don't know really what it'll look like as far as, you know, career 5 years from now. I mean, I've got some opportunities that are coming up in the very near future that could drastically change what I'm doing. But that mindset and that realization that the most important thing for me is my time and having control of that is really what drives my dreams for the future, because my family is the most important for me and making sure that I have time to be there for all of those things as my kids grow up, because they grow up fast. And it seems like, you know, if you're not careful, you miss a lot of stuff. So that's where really my dreams lie.
Yeah. You know, I used to think the same way. I mean, what are you just going to go back to the office and then sit there and be like, man, I wish I was taking a nap right now, 'cause I'm just staring at my computer screen mindlessly. But God forbid I'd come back 20 minutes late. Because obviously if something would have happened, I know I've been there. and there is something to it, because I've been on both sides of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, there is something to be said for actually being in the office and mm-hmm. all that. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, you know, what's 20 more minutes? I don't know. So, I mean, for you, you really got to dig deep. If you really, really want that lifestyle, you really got to dig deep and figure out how you're going to make it happen, make a real plan with actionable steps involved mm-hmm. in it. And break it down even further, like just make it to like the smallest degree of steps that you can mm-hmm. and then start making those steps one at a time and do it do one thing well at a time.
Right.
Mark, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we share all your websites and how people can connect with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things, what I talk about is most of the times is building relationships. And one of the things I would love to share with your audience, you know, I assume that they're people that are chasing their dreams. Don't discount the importance of the relationships you build. You know, I can trace back everything I'm doing now, everything that I love doing, my blog, my podcast, the people that I know, the opportunities that I have in my life, I can trace them all back to a relationship I've built at one time or another. And I think sometimes it's easy as we're chasing our dreams to just put our heads down and really focus on chasing our dreams. But I can tell you that developing relationships, if there is a shortcut to success, it's developing relationships. And it's not fast and it's not easy. It's not a shortcut in that sense. But I can tell you that if you will take the time to develop relationships and if you will find ways to add value to other people, you will be blown away by the number of opportunities that come your way. And I just encourage your audience, Joe, to take time to do that, even if it's a few minutes a day, to just, you know, strengthen the relationships you have and meet somebody new. And find a way to help them chase their dream. And if you'll do that, things come around and opportunities present themselves, and you just never know when that relationship will be the one that you need to get to the next level in your life. Because I really believe if you aren't where you want to be, you're really only a few relationships away from being able to get there. Whether that's an accountability partner, whether it's a coach, whether it's a business partner or a client or, a potential employer, whatever it is, it's those relationships that move you from where you are to where you want to be. And I just really encourage your audience to make sure not to let that slip by the wayside. It's easy to forget about it in the hustle and bustle of all the things that you're doing to develop your dreams and to move towards what you want to be doing. But don't forget the relationships, because they're absolutely the most important part, and they're the part that's really going to give life to what you want to do.
You know, I couldn't agree more. There's lots of people out there that I've met that I've been able to help. They've been able to help me, and it goes, it really goes both ways. If you go in it thinking that you're what can I get from this?
Right.
Most people are going to figure you out pretty quick, or at least somebody that knows well enough is going to figure it out pretty quick, and they're probably not going to want to be around you.
Right.
And then that can really stifle, not just because it's not just the person that that knows that you're just in it for yourself. It's everybody they know. Yep. And if they know a ton of people, well, then every single one of those people is a door that can be slammed on your face.
Yeah.
So you really have to figure out, like, dig deep inside yourself and figure out, okay, how can I help other people? How can I bring value to other people? And how can I contribute? And one of the things I always say in my head when I was growing up, I used to not really think before I would say things necessarily.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I had to develop as a reflex is does this contribute to the conversation?
Right.
Does it change the con? Is it a conversation changer? Is it does it contribute? Is it a story about me, or is it a story about someone else? And if it's a story about someone else, is it long, or can I make it really, really short and super anecdotal? Because otherwise, nobody cares,
right?
If it's not super short, so, and even if it is about you, you probably want to keep it as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I had to work on.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I said I don't really like the word networking, because people have this mindset of it's what can I get from somebody else? And to me, that is the absolute worst thing you can do if you want to build a relationship. Like you said, doors get closed and people talk. And just like one person can be the connection to dozens of people that you would love to get to know, that one person can be the reason that you never get to know those people. I've had experiences where I've introduced somebody to somebody and they've completely, embarrassed me by the way they've acted or the way they've responded. And I mean, I make a mental note that, I'm not going to help that person again. I introduced somebody to somebody else for a job, and they didn't show up for the job interview like they said they were going to. And I made a note right then, I'm not going to help them again, because when somebody introduces you to somebody else in their network, they're putting their relationship with that person on the line. It makes a big difference. So that's you're absolutely right. I try very hard to add value and find ways that I can help that person, because I don't want to take advantage of that relationship. Relationships are very fragile, especially when they're first getting started. And so if they get in their mind that you're interested in only you at the beginning, it's very, very hard to change that perception. And, you're going to have a really hard time developing relationships if people think that you're just in it to get something for yourself. So I work very hard at that. And I work very hard at trying to introduce people to other people that would help them and benefit them. And I work hard in finding ways to encourage them and support them and ask how I can help. And that's really what it comes down to. It's really not that hard to develop relationships. You just have to add value. And that's the way that you build your dreams. I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that's super successful that hasn't developed really good and diverse relationships.
I'd agree. Outside of like the manager who sucks, who just got promoted because it was the best option.
Because he was there longer.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But, even then, I mean, they don't get past that. You know, that at some point you're stopped in your progression if you don't learn how to develop relationships. And you know, that's one of the things that back to Scott and I mean, we used to talk about all the time. People hire people they like. I mean, overall, if they don't like you and if they don't like working with you, you're not going to get the job. I don't care how qualified you are. So it really comes back to, can you develop a relationship with that person that's hiring you? And, you know, once you get there, it's again, I mean, the people that move up and advance and find new opportunities are the ones that people get along with and that people realize, wow, they're interested in helping me. They're interested in, you know, supporting me and being a part of the team. And those really are the skills that no matter what you're doing in your life, those are the ones that are going to get you to the next level and allow you to accomplish what you want to accomplish by helping other people. You know, the Zig Ziglar quote, that's my favorite quote of all time. You know, you can get anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And I found that to be true. I found that that's really the crux of the matter when it comes to success is how many people can you help? How many people can you help them accomplish what they want to accomplish? And then you'll accomplish what you want to accomplish. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I mean, you really just got to keep giving, and it will definitely turn around and give back to you. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, I would love for you to share how people can connect with you.
Yeah, I would. You know, I talk about relationships, so I certainly would love to connect with anybody that wants to. I mean, you know, I listen to podcasts and I hear people say, oh yeah, you can email me at this email. And very rarely do people actually do that. I do. I mean, I just love getting to know people and hearing their stories and finding out how I can help them. So best ways to connect with me are probably Twitter. I'm on Twitter, skropp2, skropp2 on Twitter. And then I also, Joe, if it's okay with you, I'd love to give your audience a book that I wrote.
That'd be awesome.
If that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So I wrote a book called How to Start a Conversation with Anyone Anywhere, and it's just some tips on how to start a conversation when you're talking with somebody in person. So it's on Amazon for like $5, I think. But you know, it certainly is a thank you to you for inviting me on. I would love to give that to your audience for free, so we can let's see. I'll set up sievercropp.com/howtodream. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds fine. I'll put a link in the show notes to there.
Yeah, go there and you know, tell me which email to send it to you, and we'll get it over to you. So sievercropp.com is my website, and certainly love to see anybody over there. And like I said, I mean, if somebody wants to say hi or let me know what you thought of this, I mean, my email is mark@sievercropp.com. Would love to hear from you and see what's going on with you. So feel free to shoot me an email.
Awesome. Well, I will have all those in the show notes at howtodream.co for everyone to get to and hopefully connect with you.
Beautiful.
Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time this day. This,
what is this?
It's still morning.
Yes, it is.
I really appreciate you taking the time to come on this morning and talk about relationship building and everything, blogging, podcasting, and just getting to enjoy life a little bit more with your kids and your family and the importance of that in the struggle of trying to make something pop and be big. So I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you inviting me on, and you know, we just met each other not too long ago, and I look forward to getting to know you better and watching all the things that you're doing. And any way I can help, you know, certainly let me know.
Yeah, definitely. Anything I can do. Also, I'd love to have you on the show again in like a year to check in and see how you've been.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.